from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a greeting. Many of these New Testament letters, grace and peace are in the introduction for many of these letters that Paul wrote in particular. And they're wonderful gifts. So let's think about some things in this section of Scripture that I want us to look at in these two verses. First of all, if you got your outline out, I hope you do, the Scriptures that I'm going to be reading also, it's in your bulletin. The first thing is, become a follower of Jesus. If I'm to live as a saint or be a saint, I become a follower of Jesus. He began by saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and that God was at work. So if I'm to be a saint, by the way, are there any saints in this building? A whole bunch of you are saints. I want to remind you that saints are those who know Christ and follow Him. Saints are not stained glass window people or whatever. We've allowed some people to distort, I guess, the word when we talk about saints is that somehow somebody's super special or do miracle or whatever. Saints are all the believers. So if we're going to be a saint, we're one who's become a follower of Jesus. Paul said, I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus. Now, I recognize that we are not apostles, but we're followers of Christ. We've committed our lives to Him, and in that we become a saint or a follower of Jesus. So let me talk about what God's desire is. First of all, this first scripture passage on your notes is, the Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. I want to remind us today that it is a desire of God. It is the desire and the heart of God that every person come to faith in Jesus and become a follower of Jesus. That's God's heart. That's God's desire. And I need to remember that. Because I need to recognize that if God wants that, I guess that's what I need to want too. That God wants me to desire every person to come to faith in Jesus. So if anybody does not follow Jesus, anybody dies and goes to hell without Jesus, it's not God's fault or God's desire. I'm reminded that God doesn't sit on the throne of heaven and see somebody die and go to hell and He sets up and claps His hands. He never does that. His heart is broken. Because in Jesus Christ, who came and lived here, loved us enough to die on the cross, to be raised again, to ascend to heaven, in Him there is a declaration that God wants you to become a follower of Christ. And it is His desire that all become a follower of Jesus. So when we talk about living as saints, it is God's heart. I recognize not everybody is going to do that. Because when we talked earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, He said there's a broad way and a lot of people enter it. There's a narrow way and not as many go in. And we know that there are going to be many who don't go in. But it's not God's fault. It's God's desire that everyone become a follower of Jesus. The other passage says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So when he talked about, Paul said, I'm a saint by the will of God. I want to remind you that it's God's will that all of us, which I already mentioned, become a saint, a follower of Christ. We may not be an apostle, but we can be a follower of Jesus. We can be among those who belong to the sainthood. But notice he said that he writes this letter to those Corinthian people who are Christians who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So how do I become a follower of Jesus? Through calling on the name of Jesus. Receiving what He did. I know I don't have to convince anybody here probably of that, but I want to remind you that we're all saved because of what Jesus did, not because of what we did. We're saved because the Son of God loved us enough to die for us on the cross, to be buried, to be raised, to ascend to heaven. And out of that, we become a follower of Jesus because we call on His name, on who He is, what He has done, and we're trusting Him to keep us and to save us. So we're sanctified, set apart. A saint is one who belongs to God, who's set apart for God's purpose and God's calling. I need to remember that when I become a follower of Jesus, I'm choosing a set apart life, a distinct life, a different life. Now, when I seek to become a follower of Jesus and I yield to Him and begin to follow Him, I call on His name and declare Him as my Lord, what's that going to do to me as far as the world around me is concerned? What position is that going to put me in? Is it going to put me in a favored or unfavored position? Probably unfavored. Is that okay? The standards by which God calls us and our standard in Jesus Christ is going to make us distinct from others. So when we talk about a saint, we are going to be different from the rest of the world around us. Not because we seek to be obnoxious or whatever, but because following Jesus is automatically put us in conflict with the world around us. We want to be good witnesses. We want to be the light in that darkness. By the way, where does light need to go? Into the darkness. So that means we seek God to help us be light in the midst of darkness. And I need to remember, and I hope the rest of us remember, that the lost world is going to act like the lost world. And I think sometimes we expect them to be different, but they're not. They're going to be who they are until they meet Jesus. You and I were who we were. The only reason we're different is because we met Jesus. The difference in our life, the standards we choose, and the quality of life, and the places we go, and all those things are because we met Christ. So I'm praying, God, help me to remember that there are others out there who need to call on Your name, be transformed by You, and begin the journey. I also need to remember that when I come to Christ, I'm in a process of growing. I don't know anybody who got saved and all of a sudden you were instantaneously a full-grown, mature Christian. I think all of us are still growing a little bit. So I need to recognize as I bring others to people, share Jesus with other people, they may start out sort of rough, but by God's grace they grow and they mature and they develop. And I want to encourage them in that. So a saint is one who's become a follower of Jesus. So today, I hope that if you're not a saint, you'll become one before you leave here today. By faith in Jesus Christ, by receiving Him as Savior and Lord, and going out and say, I'm a saint. I'm a child of God. I'm redeemed. I'm a new creation. I am distinct from the rest of the world because of Jesus in me. Not because I'm different, but because He is. And that another aspect of living as saints is to be a faithful follower of Jesus. The second thing on your outline is be a faithful follower of Jesus. He said, I'm an apostle. He writes to the saints in Ephesus who are faithful in Christ Jesus. That word faithful suggests a commitment or loyalty. It also suggests by faith in Christ, by obedience to Christ, by trust in Christ. Be a faithful follower of Jesus, and I'm a saint. He says, but you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Now, as a faithful follower of Jesus, I need to recognize I am a chosen person. You are a chosen person in Christ. My conviction is God didn't pick out somebody to be saved and somebody else to be lost. But He's chosen that those who chose Jesus are chosen people. They're chosen in Christ as belonging to Him. He says you're a royal priesthood. That means we belong to the King. We represent the King. The priesthood in the Old Testament went before God on behalf of people, and they also brought God or represented God back to the people who they served. God says, we as believers, as saints, we are a royal priesthood. We have a position before God and before the world around us to honor God and to point people to God and at the same time bring the people to faith in Him and to show them Him. We can go to God on our own, I understand that. But as a saint, I'm a part of a royal priesthood. I'm a part of a holy nation. I'm distinct. I'm set apart. I'm holy. Are you holy? Think about it. We're reluctant to call ourselves holy because we don't always behave holy. Because we allow thoughts sometimes that oughtn't to be in our life. But if I'm a redeemed child of God and God has saved me, His Spirit lives in me, has He made me a holy person? I don't always act holy, but I am holy. I'm a child of God. I may not always act like a child of God, but I am a child of God if I've been born again and I'm a follower of Jesus. So I can say I'm a holy person. Therefore, I want to live holy. I think sometimes we're reluctant to call ourselves holy is because we don't live up to the standard of what holy means. We want to do our own thing and sort of separate ourselves to do our own. And when I realize the Scripture says I'm a holy person, I belong to the holy nation of God, therefore I have an obligation and the privilege to live holy before God in this world and to demonstrate the character of God around me by the way I live and the quality of life I live. So I'm a holy nation. He also said you're God's possession. You're a people for God's possession. God, you belong to God. Isn't that wonderful? I've commented a number of times, I probably will a bunch of words. I'm just amazed that He wants us. I really am. When I take a look at my journey and my life and I look at things I know still need to be improved, and God knows all that and everything else. He knows all my mistakes and all my faults and all my sin and all my thoughts and everything else better than I do. And He still wants us? What amazing. He says we are God's possession. So as a saint, I have to realize I don't belong to me anymore. I belong to God. The Scripture says in another place that you are bought with a price. The price of the blood of Christ, the death of Jesus. Because of that, I am a holy person. I'm set apart for Him, and I belong to God, and that's who I'm to live for, and who I'm to share, and what I'm to be about is Him who bought me, and I'm sure glad I belong to Him, because one day He's going to come back and claim all His possessions and take us all home to be with Him. And when I die before that, I'm still going to go home to be with Him. What a wonderful gift. So I want to be a faithful follower of Jesus to declare the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into light. Is He excellent? Has He done anything in quality in your life? Has He improved your quality of life any? He has. And so He says, I want to proclaim the excellencies of those of God who called me out of darkness to His light. Thank you, Lord, for revealing the light. I once was a nobody. He says, I'm not a people. Now I'm the people of God. I haven't received mercy, but I receive mercy. So because of that, I want to be a faithful follower of Jesus. I don't want to be a casual follower of Jesus. I want to be a faithful follower of Jesus. What's that mean? That means 24/7, I'm responsible and accountable to Christ to obey Him, to follow Him, and do what He says. That means I need to be faithful in the Word. Am I being faithful in the Word myself? Being faithful in the Word not only includes coming together to worship, but it means I open the book to see what God says to me throughout the week. And I'm saying, God, show me some things, and I want to be faithful in the Word. It means I'm faithful in prayer. I don't just come on prayer meeting night, which I hope some of you do. More of us do, but I'm praying because God answers prayer. It means I'm faithful in worship. Did you realize that the devil wants you to be unfaithful in worship? He wants you to be here some Sundays and gone some Sundays. You know why? Because the more he isolates you from the body of Christ, the better chance he has of hindering you or help getting you off track. When you no longer see something for a while, do you kind of forget about it? I don't know whether you do this or not, but sometimes I went down in our basement and looked at stuff we've had down there for like 20 years. And you start looking, oh, I haven't seen it. I forgot all about it because I had never seen it. Or hadn't looked at it lately. Do you think the devil wants us to get isolated so we're not looking at God, not looking at His people, not worshiping like we ought to be faithfully because He can get us isolated and we just sort of forget about it? And we need to come back every Sunday and worship and say, I want to remember who Jesus is. I want to remember the Lord. I want to remember why I'm here, what He's done for me. And I need to be faithful. And I thank the Lord for those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. And I know you are too. Because every Sunday we meet for worship. And if you're gone for a week or two, guess what? We still worship. When you come back, guess what? There's still worship going on. They're faithful people who are keeping the work. So we want to be faithful people in that. And I'm grateful for those who are faithful followers of Jesus in this church who serve. There's all kinds of things going on. Right now, there's somebody back there in the nursery taking care of little kids. Somebody else taking care of the younger kids. Somebody else taking care. They're faithful. I don't have to go out Sunday morning and go look and say, is anybody in the nursery? Is anybody here for these kids? I don't have to do it in Sunday school and go back and say, is Darla down there? Is Ed and Nancy down there? They're faithful. They don't have to count. I don't have to worry about it. Aren't you glad for faithful people you can depend on to do what they're called to do and they can serve Christ in that way? Now, not only are we faithful in that sense, but I can count. We ought to be so living that if somebody showed up at our house, we'd never be ashamed of what we're doing. That we're faithful to serve Jesus in the activities that we're doing Somebody asked an individual one time, well, if you knew Jesus would come today, what would you do? He said, I'd do everything I already planned to do. Be living that kind of way that if he showed up, I'd be happy because I'm doing what he called me to do. Be a faithful follower. And so he said, I'm writing to those faithful saints. They're faithful. Why? Because they're in Christ Jesus. Not because of who they are, but because of who he is in them. By the way, and I'll probably mention this again, but when you read through this book, I'd like for you to just start looking and underlining every time it says in him, in Christ, in Jesus. One person said there's at least 40 times in this book where it says in Christ. It's in him that happens, and not just us. It is in him and our relationship. So I want to be a faithful follower as a saint. They can count on me. The third area that's on your notes is recognize the need for grace. In verse 2, he talked about grace to you and peace from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. We sang about grace today. The need for grace. I was reminded today, this week as I thought about this, how valuable grace is. Let me read some of the scriptures that are here about what God's done and how grace fits into it. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Does that describe anybody here? Were you ever in that position? Were you ever lost? Every human being is lost at some point in their life. In fact, let me read the next passage which talks about that. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Not one. The scripture says all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God at some point in our life. And I was thinking about that. Had I sinned? Yeah, I sinned. I didn't become a believer in Jesus until I was 14. Do you suppose that before I got to be a believer at 14, some things happened in my life that were disobedient to Jesus? Do you suppose it just dawned on me? I had been a sinner. I thought I was a pretty good kid, but it dawned on me. I was a sinner. I was lost. I was going to hell until I met Jesus in that church service many years ago now. So when God's grace comes, I need to understand that grace is not because I'm a good guy. Not because I can list a bunch of good stuff. Grace, when I understand the value of grace, grace comes because I deserve to go to hell. And God said no. Somebody said, God, I deserve to go to hell, but God intervened. God interfered. I need to recognize that grace is a marvelous gift. It is. We sing about it, but I've been thinking about the value of grace. And so I pray that today as a saint, I recognize I needed grace. I still need grace. Not only do I need grace when I come initially to Jesus, which I'll talk about in a minute, but I need it right now. Somebody defined grace as this way. Grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. Grace is everything for nothing for those who don't deserve anything. So I'm grateful that I understand I need grace. I needed grace. Because if Jesus had not interfered and Jesus had not come, where would I be? If Jesus Christ had not touched my life at age 14, where would I be today? I don't like to think about where I would be. Because I know some things about me that are my own weaknesses that nobody else knows about but Jesus, that I could be where I would be sorry that I was there if it hadn't been for the grace of God who touched me and changed what was wrong in my life. So I want you to understand that grace is not something, it is costly and is needed, and all of us need it, the grace of God. We were sinners, we were lost. The other scriptures talk about who we were before we met Jesus. And that doesn't mean we're all, you know, criminals or in some kind of immorality or whatever. It just means we didn't know Jesus. See, we tend, I think still, we tend to think, well, I don't know, I've listened to this before. No, I didn't murder anybody today. I didn't cheat on my wife today. I didn't rob a store today. I didn't lie to somebody today. So I didn't sin. Well, sin is anything disobedience to God. And so I need to recognize that and say, Lord, I realize grace is valuable. It's wonderful. It's a gift. Thank you, God, for grace. So he talked about grace to you. On the other side of your notes, I want to talk further about grace. That's how we come to God, through grace. We come to God through grace initially. Initially. That is, when we first meet Jesus. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Apart from anything we do, any part of our righteousness, we come through faith in Christ for those who believe. I know that's old hat probably for many of us. But I need to remember that when I came to Jesus, it was God's grace that drew me. Most of us would have to say, not all of us, it was God who drew me. I didn't go looking for God. God drew me. I didn't know at the time, but He was drawing me. He was speaking to me. He was urging me. He was causing me to have a desire to know Him. And in His grace, He was saying, I want to give you something different and better than where you are. The grace of God came to us initially. So that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we're justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption in Christ. So when I come, it's grace. So if you're saved,